How many sugars? 15.
Oh, too many. Just far too many. I've been peeling off my sugar intake with teeth over the last 17 years.
Been peeling off your skin because you've had so much sugar as a child. You've got some rare disease. Or your skin's falling off. There's some sort of layer of sugar between your skin and like your tissue.
What's that condition called?
Caramelization.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates within Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Oh, grey, hot.
Hello and welcome to the Incomplete series, your incomplete guide to every television show you've never watched, or that you have watched and just want to hear us talk about it. This is the podcast where we watch the first episode of a TV series and then the very last episode of that TV series. My name's Morgan and joining me to do this is my good friend, Jeremy Wiseman. Jez, how are you?
You missed a spot.
Did I?
Missed a bit.
Did I?
Yeah, you didn't say that we fill in the gaps.
Ah, yeah, because we only kind of do that.
And we've sort of stopped doing that.
Yeah, a little bit.
We've pivoted.
Slightly. Love a pivot.
Do you love a pivot? You just like...
I like saying pivot.
Yeah. You like it as much as I like John Travolta.
I feel like... pivot a lot.
Went for an early one.
Cool.
Really, cool. It's like right in the ear.
Yeah. Really gets in. Really burrows
cuts,
deep.
Really cuts to your core. Aaron, how are you?
I'm good, Morgan. I'm keen to pivot back to the regular intro, so carry on.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to... I didn't know this would throw everyone's rhythm out so much, but...
He looked offended.
Yeah. Scott, how are you?
I'm quite well.
Was having a good day until you missed that part of your intro, and now everyone's just thrown off.
Yeah.
I might have ruined this podcast already.
It's kind of like...
Again.
We'll probably just leave it there then. Final thoughts on this podcast.
If I could describe the scene to listeners, it's a lot like the opening beach scene of Saving Private Ryan. And Morgan sort of like just been... almost hit by a shell. And
dumped on the beach.
And he's disoriented looking around the beach. And Scott, Aaron and I are still sort of holding our guts and don't know what's going on. And that's what you've done to the podcast.
Yeah,
you've thrown us all off.
I must say that description may have sounded a little over the top, but I could say it's pretty much spot on. Like it is bang on. Yeah.
Except the air horn.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I was going to say it'd be slightly more like this.
War is hell.
Just like Fran Drescher's laugh. Anyway, guys.
The nanny.
Guys, the nanny. We tackled the nanny, which I think has been a long time coming because I think it's definitely been in our... it's been in our eyes, our eyesight. Our eyesight for a while.
In our eyes. Physically inside our eyes.
She's the apple of our
really
eyes.
Burns on your retinas. Her bright costumes really...
See her laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's definitely one of those shows that was right there in our childhood. Just always on...
Always.
I feel the like nanny it was channel. A 4:30 kind of time slot after.
Nah, I reckon 5:30.
I think it's even later.
Maybe even 6:00.
No, I think after it finished.
Not the nanny.
Back in the early 2000s, when it was syndicated, it would have been like 4:30.
The later version that Scott watched, we're not concerning ourselves with today.
It's amazing that it made it onto television.
The big brother up late of the nanny.
Yeah.
Pushing out two episodes a day.
I reckon it has to be top 10 in terms of memorable
of
intros.
Yeah, I had completely forgotten about it, to
really?
Be honest.
Title
yeah.
songs?
And no, then when it came on, I was like, oh, bang. Fuck,
it's up there. It's right up there with
this.
Yeah.
Right up there with Friends for like 90s intros. That
yeah.
Just really
it's pretty cool.
She was working in a bridal shop in Flushing, Queens, till her boyfriend kicked her out in one of those crushing scenes. What was she to do? Where was she to go? She was out on her fanny.
Yeah, I feel like I can just remember it tattooed in my brain of like The Simpsons at 6, Nanny at 6:30.
Yeah.
Miscellaneous at 7.
Yeah, that's right.
That's definitely it.
Yeah. Whatever show they churned out would go for 3 months and they'd roll something else in there. Yeah. But they're stalwarts, the nanny.
Like a rules of engagement or something.
Yeah, rules of engagement. Yeah. Many of those.
Just
something
shoot
with,
me.
Something with David Spade. Literally both those shows have David Spade. So, Jez, what did you know about the nanny going in?
I'd actually seen a bit of it. Probably because I just rolled into it after The Simpsons and it's like, well, you know, 13,
here we are.
What else have I got to do?
Yeah. I'm not going to stand up. That's for sure.
No.
Might as well
don't
just
have legs
watch
yet.
The nanny. You know, everyone knows you don't develop legs till you're 17 and a half.
Exactly. And you're a late bloomer.
Yeah.
You're just coming through
they're
now.
They're just coming through. I've just got baby legs now. That's why I got to hang around with you regular legs guys.
Can't reach to the door handle.
Yeah.
So do they like fall off? Like you have baby legs that like fall off.
Yeah, you lose your child legs.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Okay, we're all thinking of that Rick and Morty thing of baby legs.
That's the baby noise legs. I make when I run.
Aaron, what did you know about the nanny going in?
I feel like I can't remember any of the actual content. Would have watched a fair bit of it, but yeah. Do not remember anything that happened other than Niles just being sassy as hell.
Mm.
Which he delivered upon in these episodes.
In spades.
Yeah, in spades. Mm.
And the fact that a friend of the show, Tom, looks exactly like Mr. Sheffield.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. He does.
One of our dear sweet listeners is a spitting image.
Yeah.
Mm.
Thomas from Melbourne.
Mr. Sheffield.
Oh, God. Oh, man, I really like that laugh. Anyway.
Somehow worse than the air horn.
This is going to be a fun 45 minutes ahead.
I don't like you having kids.
Well, stop making jokes.
The crowd goes crazy, Morgan.
I know. Scott, what do you know about the nanny going in?
Yeah, I think I'd seen a fair crack of it. But yeah, a lot of the stuff that had stuck was, Niles's
general ideas sassy of the attitude. Show.
Yeah, and the sort of that relationship that he has with Cece as well. Mm. And yeah, the rest of it is obviously just taken up by Fran Drescher and her lovely laugh.
Mm.
Nah, pretty much the same as you guys. This is something I've seen a bit of, but don't really remember anything in particular.
It's all pretty inconsequential.
Yeah,
I think
it's just a sitcom,
which is fine, yeah. Totally fine.
Pick up, put down, kind of show.
Yeah, nothing really much happening.
Yeah,
but I am really glad we did this because I got to say, I mean, watching this, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
No. Yeah, because I remember enjoying it at the time, but you sort of just have this assumption that when you go back and watch a television show, and it's not touted as, you know, like the greatest thing ever, that it's probably just going to be bad, and that you're just looking at it through, you know, rose tinted glasses.
Mm.
But yeah, it actually, I don't know.
I mean, it was
not. It's not particularly offensive like a lot of older shows. No, are,
imagine if you watched, you know, more than two episodes, her shtick would probably wear.
Yeah,
wear in pretty quickly. But in small doses, yeah, it's bearable.
Yeah, and I can see I can see how this was popular. I can see how this works.
Yeah,
I'm not going to personally go back and watch any of it, but I can see why people enjoyed it.
Yeah.
On that
you like to pretend you're a person.
Yeah, I do.
To think that you can understand human emotion.
I know, but God, we all know that I don't. I can't.
Mm.
It's just all nuts and bolts.
Yeah, it's all Android.
You've got an Excel spreadsheet that just has a list of emotions on it. You just kind of pick them out at random.
Well, that's the thing. I've got like that little card I pick up and I look at people's faces and compare it. Oh, that's an angry face.
That's all you got.
Yeah. So it's pretty. This was one of those shows.
You really need to expand that card.
We do.
He's got happy and angry.
Yeah, I know.
That's why he hates Delancey so much, because he himself is an android.
Damn.
There can only be one.
Yeah.
That's very threatened.
Yeah. On that note, we should probably move into episode one.
What has to be the world record for shortest backstory ever? We are introduced to Fran Fine, a wedding dress salesperson working for her husband-to-be, Danny. Danny reveals that he's been seeing someone else and that someone else needs a job.
I can't believe I just wasted 3 years of an ever-dwindling youth on you in this dump!
Fran is booted, and while selling cosmetics door-to-door, she happens across the Sheffield family. Widower Maxwell and his two children, Margaret and Grace, and his beachside inner eastern suburb trapped in a boy's body, Brighton.
Really lights up a room, doesn't she?
Despite only having a resume written in lipstick and seemingly no experience working with children, Fran is hired as the new nanny. Her first task is to hide the children, as the rich people coming to the party all spawn on yachts in Monaco at the age of 42 and have never seen children before. Fran disobeys Sheffield's orders and crashes the party with the kids, Sound of Music style.
Hello, sweetheart.
Do you like my party dress? Loan me 70% off.
She'll never shop retail again.
Sheffield lets it slide until he catches Margaret rounding second with a local hunk and kicks Fran out. After some sage-like advice from butler Niles, Mrs. Sheffield makes up with Fran and invites her back as the nanny.
So they really could have just cut out like the first 5 minutes of the episode and just played the intro.
Pretty much, that just summed it up.
It was 32 seconds.
Yeah. Okay, I know where we're at now.
And that 32 seconds they pushed out to like 8 minutes.
And then the intro goes over exactly, the exact same stuff.
Yeah.
That's the weirdest part, because it like I'd never seen that first episode of the movie before, and so I was really kind of wondering.
But I knew exactly what happened.
Exactly, because the intro song sums it up perfectly. So I was wondering if they'd actually show it, and they did, and midway through it they played the intro song, which describes the first like 11 minutes of the first episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boyfriend kicks her out in one of those tragic scenes. She's one working at a... Mm.
I do have a... Wedding shopping queens. I do have...
Flushing Queens.
Flushing Queens.
I do have one thing to mention
she
about
the... She was working at a wedding shop, Flushing Queens, until...
What is the deal?
One of those tragic scenes.
Would that
sound like you're singing the monster
There's a crushing
mash.
Scene.
She goes out night. On her fanny. Can they did the mash.
The you're like a crooner?
Could be.
In the song, there's a word there that really bothers me.
Is it the fanny? Same one that I picked up on? Because they use the word beguiling.
No, it's not a word. I think they make it up. The kids are actually smiling.
The kids are actually smiling.
Jacques Wallaby. It's some fucking made up word. It really bothers me.
Are you sure?
Isn't it just French? Yeah. I thought it was French.
Is it?
Say Wallaby or something.
Wallaby.
Is that what they say?
No,
it sounds like it's all mashed together, and it really bothers me.
We got to get to the bottom of this. Yeah. I was to get into that rhyme of the kids are actually smiling. They say like he found her so beguiling. I was like, that is not a word that I thought was in the theme song for this show. Like,
yeah, that's a little
beguiling.
Awesome. Yeah,
very highbrow.
Yeah, which maybe that's which maybe that plays to Maxwell Sheffield's character. I don't know. Mm. Maybe it was actually really, really clever.
It is a French phrase often used in English to express a cheerful enjoyment of life.
What is it?
Can you pronounce it for us?
It is j'ai de vous vie.
Okay.
J'ai de vous vie.
Here I thought it was a made-up word. It really bothered me. Yeah. Yeah. Turns out I'm the idiot.
Just made-up language.
Some stupid made-up language. Yeah. French.
Speak English.
Not a real
commies.
Thing. Yeah.
Exactly. There's two languages out there. English and bad English. that's the latter.
I would have thought the weirder thing to pick up on is the fact that they use fanny in an American
kicked
TV show.
Kicked her out on her fanny.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very risque.
Yeah, well, I mean, the show's fanny called
means,
The
fanny,
Nanny.
Fanny means butt, you know that.
In
the US.
In the UK it does.
Not in the UK.
No, US right. It's butt.
US
oh,
it's
in
butt.
The UK it's vagina.
Yes.
Okay. Mm. All right, that's why I'm getting confused. Mm.
Yeah.
Where did it all go so wrong?
How did two countries speak the same language have that word go two different directions?
Exactly.
The independence wars were fought over. Yeah. The word fanny.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Washington just wasn't having it.
Nah. Mm. It would hurt much more to get kicked out on that.
Yes.
The UK.
A very awkward landing.
Yeah. You'd have to.
You have to face first.
Or land on some sort of pole or something.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. I think it just didn't translate in the UK. Like, they just didn't play it.
Yeah.
Right off the bat. Oh, God.
But they ran it in Australia. Jesus. And in Australia, it's got the same meaning as in the UK.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
I'm turning this off. I don't. This is not appropriate for my children.
How is this on at 6:30?
Grievous bodily harm.
The boyfriend's Danny, it was just a classic sort of, hey, whoa, hey, well, come on, Heather needs a job.
Yeah,
I'm walking here.
Did Billy Donovan play Danny?
Yeah.
The coach of the Oklahoma
Thunder. Coach Billy Donovan played Danny.
Hey,
a young Billy Donovan.
A young Billy Donovan, yeah.
But surely, so she has this little, there's a little sassy line that she has in the two times she gets fired.
You can't fire me, Danny Imperiale. I quit. No, you fired me. That way I could collect unemployment.
In the first instance, surely she'd have, you know, a pretty good case for unfair dismissal.
Probably. Absolutely.
I would say a rock solid case.
She got fired because his new girlfriend wanted a job.
Yeah.
She'd take that man to court, sue him for all his work.
Maybe she's getting paid cash in hand and she doesn't have any
workers' rights. Have some grounds for it. Jez, you're a lawyer.
I'm going to go in a bat for her.
Yeah.
It's a very litigious society.
Wise men and sons, getting straight in there, going back in time.
Straight in
and
there.
And then knocking on
cases. Once I have some sons.
Yeah.
And
go forward in time. Get your sons.
You guys could just
go back in time.
Just let me adopt you guys.
Legally adopt us, yeah.
Well, see, you've got the legal matters in this show handled. Morgan, you're the therapist.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about Mr. Sheffield's youngest daughter?
Well,
she has some problems.
So, I was going to say, when you said that, as a medical doctor, Jeremy can direct people my way and I can then sort of say, oh, like with Fran Drescher, if we're trying to build a case, I can, I could just...
Take advantage of it?
Ham up her medical records, make it look like something was a lot worse, so then we get the court's sympathy.
Mm-hmm. It sounded like you were going to go down to like sort of creepy...
Well, my mind didn't
like
go there.
Doctor Death or one of those doctors...
delivered Morgan another specimen.
One of those doctors that shouldn't be allowed to practice.
No, we're not... You still got your head in fanny mode. Mm. Get your head out of there.
Get my head out of the fanny.
Yeah, the young girl.
Grace,
yeah.
So what, she's about 8?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's the youngest.
Oh, yeah.
Got PTSD already? Or?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
7 maybe.
Mm. Any breakthroughs?
Dr. Barn and I did some regression. She took me back to my childhood.
Rich people, you know? It's
rich people.
Is that what they're trying to establish problems. With that?
Yeah.
He's just a really terrible father.
Yeah.
That he's
I mean, her,
well, the mum's,
the mum did
is
die.
The mum dead?
The mum died, yeah.
Yeah,
because he's the most eligible widower, according to Esquire right. magazine.
Yeah.
Esquire magazine, New York's 10 most eligible widowers? My condolences, by the way.
You read Esquire?
When they list the 10 most eligible widowers, I do.
But we don't know anything about the mother.
No. I assume that
not
comes
necessary.
At some point. Throughout the story.
Most eligible widower.
Flashback.
Jeez, that's an interesting list.
That's a grim list to write.
That's a grim list.
And updating it.
I don't think you'd want to be.
I'm now on this list.
And the photos of all the guys are just
that really
depressed.
The grief.
You wouldn't want to be on
just
that list.
Just coming out of a funeral.
Yeah.
Looking good.
Yeah.
Hiding look at that their suit. Face.
God damn, he's
black
sharp.
Umbrella.
Spoke well at the eulogy.
Niles, though, yeah. I don't know.
Good for a couple.
Yeah, got a couple of chuckles out of that.
Absolutely.
He had a hot hand after the first episode. He was he was throwing the little lines out and they were sticking with me.
Oh, yeah. He's pretty deadly from 3.
He's hard not to like.
Yeah.
Has that actor done anything else? I assume he's pretty identifiable as Niles from The Nanny.
He's probably played a butler in other stuff.
Yeah. I looked up the woman who played Cece and it looks like she's... this was like one of the only things she did. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, she's more... like, everything I read about her was stage. She's more theatre.
Yeah. I always find that so bizarre.
Yeah.
Someone just bobs up for one TV show and sort of disappears.
Yeah.
It happens a lot with like child actors. Like the kid who played Charlie from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory was like... that was all he did, and he's like a veterinarian.
Yeah. I think that makes sense to child actors, though. But when they're like a career actor, and that's all you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's one.
And not even like listed to, like, not even in that area. Like, like comedians pop up in. I'm trying to remember the name of.
Orny Adams.
Orny Adams, yeah. Yeah. Like, kind of makes sense that somebody would throw him in a thing. But
his IMDb profile has got proof in it that he's, you know, been a career comedian. Mm. But to pop up, be a sort of prominent character
in a pretty prominent TV show. She was in some stuff, but not it's not a lot. Like, someone like that, it's like you'd expect to see them as a guest star, like guest roles in just a bunch of other shows. But she's in like 3-4 like TV movies and then that's it.
And then Law and Order.
Not even on Law and Order.
She didn't even get Law and
Order.
Didn't
get Law and Order.
Pretty one-dimensional character, though. Like her whole, the premise of the character is to be like this salty, rich woman who
I reckon
hard to get along
with. Niles was in The Prestige.
Snob.
Was he?
He was a judge.
Yeah. He was, yeah. Mm. Oh, I'd totally forgotten about that.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And he was also in an episode of Frasier.
That makes sense.
They got some Niles on Niles action.
Oh, yeah.
What sort of action?
Niles on Niles.
Did he play Niles?
All right. Speak my language.
No, he didn't.
Okay. Because have you guys ever watched Broad City before?
Yes.
There's an episode where Alaya Shawkat from Arrested Development, maybe, she's in an episode.
Yeah.
Is she from it or not?
What's that?
No, this is just bad jokes.
Okay. But yeah.
From Arrested Development.
You like that one?
Maybe.
But like she looks a lot like one of the main characters in...
Wait, you missed the canned laughter, Scott.
So she was
just a friend of Wild Click. Yeah.
She maybe looks like one of the characters or...
No. Well,
I don't understand where you're going with this joke.
Just yeah. Anyway, there's a...
She looks like one of the curly-haired main characters from Broad City.
Yeah, so she... like anyway, in that show, like they meet and they fall in love and they look like the exact same person.
Oh, yeah.
So
oh.
I'm picturing that with Niles on Niles.
They put Niles
in Frasier.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you have Niles and Niles fall in love.
Well, maybe.
That's
maybe,
what after.
Maybe you
that's
do.
Where I was going with the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa. So like double down then. That was a bit too much.
Really?
We can go deeper.
Really don't like that laugh.
Yeah. How many levels do you want to go? Maybe later.
Brighton, the boy, is a real piece of shit.
Oh my god.
Staging fake suicides.
Yeah.
You know,
and
to-
just really laying into his older sister.
Yeah.
She was like all self-conscious about how she doesn't date.
Boys haven't noticed me yet.
Oh, they've noticed me, Ian. That's why you don't date.
It's brutal.
Well, to be fair to him, though, Nanny describes her as being a bit beige, and then the next scene, she's wearing like a a beige smock. Yeah. Like they're deliberately making her as plain as possible so that they can do the whole, you know,
the swan.
The swan. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Sort of the butterfly emerging from her cocoon when she comes down the stairs.
The swan emerging from its cocoon.
Yeah, from its swan cocoon. Cocoon of feathers, of white feathers to emerge as the black swan.
Yeah. Like bursts out from the
chest.
My
understanding of bird biology is correct. And yeah,
I thought you were
like a parasite. Than
I thought you specialised in bird law.
I've only dabbled in bird law.
Okay.
Yeah. To get my certificate.
Right, of course.
So the swan bursts out of her chest?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. Like a face hugger.
And then it eats, consumes her corpse?
Yeah, naturally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you can't leave the corpse there.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Or else everybody would know.
That's it. Yeah, that's how birds work, right?
Mm. Does swans care if anyone knows? Can't try a swan, is
they're
it?
Very gossipy creatures.
Yeah. Okay. But you're right, you can't try them.
You can't put a swan in jail.
No.
No, they'll just go through the bars.
Yeah, you can't convict them. Yeah. That's why they act with such impunity.
Unconvictable.
Diplomatic immunity.
Those bendy necks. Very hard to
put in handcuffs.
Yeah. So, PSA, stay away from swans.
Yeah. I actually thought that the eldest daughter, I've forgotten her name already.
Margaret.
Yeah. The acting was actually pretty good. Like, everybody else is kind of just like doing their sort of shtick, but like I believed that she had low self-esteem. I really believed it. I really fell for her. Yeah.
I reckon the boy, Brighton, could have been played by like a 60-year-old man.
You reckon?
Yeah, like a kind of like that old guy from Will and Grace.
It'd be weird for him to be the middle child.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's like go from a 14-year-old daughter like to a 60-year-old man.
And he just had that like kind of old man sass.
He legit looks like he's balding at like the age of 10.
Yeah.
Like.
I thought his acting was actually pretty good for the role that he was meant to play.
No. Yeah, yeah.
Hard to convey. He's playing someone beyond his years.
Mm. Yeah.
Funnily enough, though, so the youngest one, she's been in the most stuff of the three kids since the show's completion.
Sling us some titles.
Californication.
Ooh. Which one is she?
David Duchovny.
David Duchovny, yeah.
She plays David Duchovny.
Yeah, she was in the X-Files as well.
She starts as the swan and then she progresses to David Duchovny's role.
Her final form.
She's in like the new Twin Peaks. She's in Twin Peaks.
Really?
Yeah.
Playing David Lynch.
No, she plays David Duchovny in that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Madeline Zima, is that her name?
Yeah, Madeline Zima.
Yeah.
Actually, David Duchovny is in the new
Nanny.
Okay. He plays Madeline Zima. No, he's in the new Twin Peaks.
Is he? Ooh, she was in Heroes.
Oh, who was she in Heroes?
Gretchen Berg.
How many episodes?
11.
Ooh.
Yes.
I'm going to...
And Seventh Heaven.
Figure that out later. Dennis Heaven. I've seen a lot of Heroes.
Don't bring us back to that, Morgan. That was a dark time in this podcast history.
That was a dark time in this podcast history. It's a good time.
Dark time is a good time.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I think we should move to episode 2. I think we're getting bogged down in meaningless facts now.
Let's go for it. We start the episode with a pregnant Fran. Her and Maxwell are having twins. The Sheffield children are all grown up and moving on to their new lives. Fran throws an anniversary party for her and Maxwell, where Niles, now in a relationship with Cece, proposes to her for a second time. Cece flees, and her and Fran end up trapped in an elevator where Fran goes into labour.
They're coming! They're coming!
Come on, Nanny, fine. You can hold them in a little longer. Please!
Whilst trapped, Cece comes to the realisation that she wants to be with Niles, resulting in Niles summoning some Herculean strength to open the doors. Fran is rushed to the hospital and everybody follows. In what could be the least hygienic and least private birthing experience, Niles and Cece are married whilst Fran lays ready to give birth in the hospital bed.
Cece and Niles have asked to express their love for one another in their own words.
I remember it perfectly. The year was 1962 and four young hopefuls from Liverpool were just about...
Step to the landing!
We then flash forward to Fran, Maxwell and the twins seeing Brighton and Maggie off at the airport before they travel to Europe. The rest of the family is moving to California. And while packing up the last of their things, we're left with a 4-minute flashback of all the best bits of the show. And that's it for the final episode of The Nanny.
Where do we want to start? Can I start?
Go ahead.
Please.
So the flashbacks were weird because it's Fran sitting in the house by herself reminiscing about all of the things that went on. And there's just like scenes that she wasn't in.
Yeah. Like where Niles is singing by himself.
Yeah.
So is she like making them up?
I don't know. Is she delusional?
She's an omnipresent character.
Or is that basically saying that it was all in her head?
Yeah.
Like, she's probably just passed out in the gutter in Queens. Right. Like, her boyfriend threw her out, she got knocked out.
Mm.
And then imagine the whole...
She's dreamt of these 6 years.
Yeah.
Mm, I like
She's really in a coma.
Yeah.
But that was just weird to have flashbacks with a whole bunch of people waiting.
I mean, as much as I would like to go into the narrative possibilities and implications of that scene... It was almost definitely just the producers going, well, that bit with Niles where he did that risky business style slide is definitely something that we should put in because everybody loved it and our ratings went up after it happened.
That
was a funny scene.
Wait, you've seen it?
I remember Niles sliding out like Tom Cruise in
Risky Business. I can vaguely remember that as well.
Yeah. Probably because you've seen it in every other...
That's probably it.
Mm. Yeah, it's been in about a million things.
The best iteration of it is definitely the Scrubs iteration. Oh, yeah. glad you picked up on it.
What happens in the Scrubs iteration? Slides out in a white
T-shirt. JD's picturing what Dr. Cox will do by himself now he's home alone, and he slides out and does it, and then JD slides out right after him, and he's like, no way, and then Turk rolls up, and then he's like, well, and then the Todd rolls in.
Mm. You said it'd be cool.
It's very funny.
Should have put that in the clip show.
Fran's
remembering things that she wasn't there for.
Get a clip from another show that was made years after it and bring it in. That's a great idea.
I thought it was a bit weird.
It is weird.
I think there's a better way to segue into a clip show that's not her reminiscing and then reminiscing about things where she's
all these scenes. Clearly not.
You shouldn't read too much into it though. I mean, because a lot of shows from the 90s.
Why can't I read too much into it?
Home Improvement did that for an entire episode.
I didn't notice it. But that's different. No, that's
caught up with the emotion.
Because
how is it different? It's the exact same thing. Their family's reminiscing.
No, because the way that you're cutting to it is as in it's like her memory. Whereas if it's just a clip show that's inserted into the series, it you're not tying it to a particular character. The fact that they've tied it back to her remembering things.
I just think you're giving the show too much credit.
I'm giving it little credit.
No,
I'm savaging it.
You're expecting too much, though.
You are. You're expecting way too much.
Back to the start, that previously on was had a lot going on.
Yeah.
Way more than I thought would be happening for a sitcom.
As in like a lot was going on in the show or they just included a lot in the previously?
Yeah. They really jam-packed some major storylines like Fran getting pregnant, Niles proposing and then CC turning him down.
That's a weird one. There's a lot going on. The Niles-CC storyline. I don't understand
I don't know. It's those opposites attract sort of thing.
Yeah.
Isn't that Sheffield's sloppy seconds?
Yeah.
Both of them.
What do you mean?
Niles and CC.
Well, yeah.
They're both so sloppy.
Why else do you think he keeps Niles around? Because he doesn't look after the kids. They've established that.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. What does he actually do?
They really need Niles and a nanny?
No, you absolutely do not need both.
No.
It's a complete, it's total surplus.
He's just got so much money that he doesn't know what to do with it.
Exactly. He needs a butler to come around and just make comments.
just sass him every day.
Just be a real jerk.
It's Miss Babcock for you, sir.
No, thank you, Niles.
I'll take her in the library. Miss Babcock loves to be taken in the library.
Essentially, CC's like his business partner, and Niles just like...
They describe CC as a business partner, and Niles is like, CC's a love interest.
But do they actually... I don't know if they actually do have something going on between them, like...
Yeah, because the thing with Fran Niles is would implying have come in it. Like right from the start.
Mm.
And CC was getting in on his business deals.
Mm. Is that like a euphemism?
Probably. Yeah. Everything is with Niles.
Everything is.
But CC is a real piece of shit.
Yeah, this episode, it's like, 6 years later?
Yeah.
And Fran and Maxwell are married, and she's still referring to her as Nanny Fine. How patronizing is that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Why is she fine. Surely Fran's just like, why the fuck are you still around? Like, who are you?
Get the fuck out of my life.
You're hooking up with the hired help.
I won. Don't you see that?
So can we address the babies? So
what's your beef with the babies?
Baby actors obviously hard to wrangle. Mm-hmm. As is seen when they first come out and they're just letting out blood curdling screams. I think they're over crying. All right, imagine the director's like, oh shit. So then in the next scene, they replace him with just sacks of potatoes covered
I did notice that.
Blue blanket and a pink blanket.
Sacks of potatoes. And
it's way easier that way.
And then they're gingerly handing them to each other. You can tell that it's just like a
lifeless
sack of potatoes.
I assume they didn't use actual sacks of potatoes.
Hard. Well, I reckon that. What
just
would
for,
it be?
Well, just for weight.
Probably a plastic baby. It was in a blanket. But that's why it could fall apart so easily.
Plastic babies, you sometimes see like their hand or the side of their face. This, you don't see anything. You just see like a bundled up blanket.
Yeah, but the sacks of potatoes are all lumpy. It'd be weird to hold.
Maybe it's like,
have you ever held a baby?
What's that?
Have you ever held a baby?
No, never.
Very lumpy.
Have you ever eaten a potato?
No. Their skin feels a
You haven't lived.
Their skin feels a lot like a Trans Am.
I knew we were going when you said it was still hilarious.
Just at least get a fake baby, not a sack of potatoes.
Did anyone else notice? I just thought that whole interaction was weird when she's holding the babies and it's like quite clearly not babies. Anyway, what else have we got in this episode?
Again, I mean, this is just, it's just a lot of like
Brighton's lost all his hair.
He's
18
it's
and
bald.
It's
a slippery slope.
He's meant to be, because it's been 6 years, right? He was 10 in the first episode, so he's 16 there.
Mm.
His hair's gone.
I don't know.
It's very like a slight.
I don't know if it's
good.
Actually been 6 years. I think maybe jump forward, expanded it out a little.
No,
bit.
No, it's 7 years, isn't it? Oh wait, no, 6 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe,
like,
six
it makes
seasons.
Sense that he's like 18 now. Yeah, he's going traveling.
Yeah, but his hair is like dust. Slight breeze, it just blows straight off.
Yeah.
All the money in the world can't bring that back.
No. Which is like, it's pretty jarring because like his old man has just got
growing more hair. he harvests hair off his son and dyes it black.
Dyes it salt and pepper.
No, that's the only reason he had his kids. Hair. Yeah.
For the hair purposes?
Yeah. Like hair, sorry. Have you seen that movie, The Island?
Well, no.
They create clones of yourself in case you ever need. Like if you're rich... Mm. You create, because this is part of the island's expanded universe.
Right, I didn't know
Mr.
that.
Mr. Shepherd was so rich that he can create a bunch of children just to harvest their hair.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How do you think
it's paying off?
It's paying off?
It
looks incredible.
Paying dividends.
Yeah.
Still getting women pregnant well into his 50s.
Do you reckon he's 50?
Yeah.
Well, he's playing a character that's 50, I reckon.
Yeah, okay. We should point now that we said Fran Drescher. We were going to tell a story pre-podcast about Fran Drescher and Alan.
Alan.
Hey, Alan. Aaron.
Is this me? Okay.
Yeah, you're Alan.
We're talking about Jeremy's cat.
Alan Blouton.
Alan. Alan Blouton.
Yes, Morgan.
Aaron, can you please tell the story about our friend Carl? Callum.
So, one of our friends confused for many years the name Fran Drescher. He thought it was one word. Kind of like Francesca.
Isn't he?
But Fran Drescher.
Fran Drescher?
Yes. Yeah. Only recently realized that it's two words.
What would her
words.
Last name be?
No, she didn't have a last name.
Fran Drescher Nanny?
It was like Cher.
Just Cher. Yeah, it was like, Fran Drescher.
One thing.
Which now, as I hear it, that's all I hear.
It's all
it
just rolls into
all
one.
That's all I can picture it.
You don't just say Fran. Yeah.
No,
but they call it Fran Drescher.
In the intro song, they say the nanny named Fran.
Yeah.
They say her name.
They do.
That's true. Fran Fine.
Yeah, Fran Drescher was playing Fran Fine.
Fran Drescher.
So he thought it was Fran Drescher Fine.
No.
No.
He just thought it was Fran Drescher? There's one name.
The actress is Fran Drescher playing Fran Fine.
I thought the actress's name was just Fan Drescher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fran Drescher.
Embarrassing. Why don't you have a formed opinion on her name?
Who knows?
I've never... How did this come out?
It's a great question.
He had a realization one day.
And he was dumb enough to voice that realization?
Never again.
Just keep that one under lock.
And now
and
this
key.
Has happened.
Yeah.
So the youngest daughter's still in therapy.
Mm.
Had a
but
last
she's
session.
About to finish it.
She's graduating. She's like, I'm done with my self-improvement.
Yeah.
Like, I know I'll never need this again.
But that's like perfect sitcom world of the 90s.
Yeah.
Where every single storyline
has to
be
come
tied
to
off.
Natural fruition.
Yeah.
Mm. So, except for the storyline of Brighton's hair.
Yeah. That
we know where that's ending.
That's the one cliffhanger.
I'm pretty sure you could Google image search that and you'd find the answer pretty quickly. So. That's the thing. And she's going to California. What is it? Did they explain why they're moving to California?
Because Mr. Sheffield's a movie producer.
Oh, right. So he's gotten out of
Beverly Hills.
Gotten out of off Broadway into
Hollywood.
Hollywood. Hollywood.
Is there that much money in producing Broadway plays?
Apparently.
I thought they were always.
He's still producing films.
But at the start, he's a Broadway producer. What I've heard is they mostly just getting by the skin of their teeth, unless they do really well. There's very few musicals that do well.
It does seem like he's doing really well. So maybe he's just getting the top ones.
Speaking of the 90s, like Cats?
Anything Andrew Lloyd Webber would be pretty good.
Phantom of the Opera.
Rent.
Yeah.
Rent
was pretty big.
Was it?
Death of a Salesman.
West Side Story.
Mm.
All of these are musicals.
Les Miserables.
Another one of those sitcom tropes is the obsession with asking people to marry you. Like Niles asked Cece twice.
I was thinking, I know I shouldn't have asked you to marry me when I did. We weren't ready.
That's why I laughed in your face, lover.
But I think we're ready now. Will you marry me?
She says no, and he's like, I don't know why she won't say yes. I've asked her twice. It's a real
bailout cliffhanger.
Yeah. Mm. Just like talk to them like a person.
Yeah. Don't just keep asking. Yeah. She's not a magic eight ball.
Establish a relationship first.
Yeah.
Maybe propose.
Makes me
not
so
just
mad.
Like go from hating each other for what, 6 seasons to
let's get married.
They're clearly both emotionally stunted human beings. So they don't really know how to interact.
Trying to help out, man. Well,
but eventually CC says yes while she's trapped in an elevator, and Niles just like hulks out and opens up the doors.
That was
elevator
so
dude
silly.
Couldn't get open. But
yeah.
It was funny, but it was silly.
So your advice would be if you want to marry someone, trap them.
Yeah. Of course, fear trap is the best motivator of love.
Trap them in a steel cage with a limited amount of oxygen until they say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let them out.
Got to induce some Stockholm Syndrome.
No, good.
Yeah.
Dating advice, Darren.
Yeah.
Leave the therapy.
New segment.
You should leave the therapy to me.
How do you think this podcast started?
But surely you agree with that.
Oh, completely. Yeah. There's nothing on here nor there. But
don't be horning in on your racket.
No, exactly. Mm-hmm. The therapy's my angle.
Yeah.
By the end of it, though, like I was really glad that was over.
Yeah. It was a two-parter to finish off with as well.
Oh, I know.
So
I was like,
I don't want to deal with everybody's insecurities. Yeah.
Speaking of the end, all the actors got clapped out on stage.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty funny.
Was weird.
I don't know if it's a version that the version we saw, but they were all in, they were still in
character costumes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's performed in front of a live studio audience. So.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Was it one of those ones?
Yeah, absolutely.
Situation comedy.
Well, how do they get them to the airport?
Oh, jeez.
It's a set.
What do you mean it's a set?
Well, no, they did the show live at JFK. Yeah.
You can't just make a set of anything, but they had planes in the background.
You can.
Had the planes.
Yeah, it was because they did it live at JFK.
And what about you next you're going to tell me the bloody bridal shop was a set?
They were real potatoes, Jez.
I fucking knew it. How do they get? What about when they go upstairs in the show? Where do they go?
This is another part of it. I don't know. Is this a bit?
Are you
legitimately asking?
In seriousness, when they do have a live studio audience and they move from set to set, do the audience move with them?
No, so the set's like really long. It's really wide. And so they only have like fixed angles. So like the lounge room in the nanny is going to be maybe like 30%, 20 to 30% of the set. And then they just move along. Yep. And the crowd, where they're all sitting,
they're
just on, like,
really spread out. They don't get to see all
the
of it.
Bleachers or the whatever you would call it. In the seats, it's just really, really long and spread out.
Okay. So, but
have you guys ever been to a live recording of a sitcom?
No, not a sitcom. No.
I saw one in the States for, oh God, I can't remember what the show was. It was terrible.
I would never
recommend it. Oh,
was it the name?
I hope not. No.
Yeah, Scott was over there in like 94.
Yeah. I have a lot of good memories.
It would have been interesting.
It was interesting. And they like...
Do they have breaks? Mm.
They have little breaks.
Do they do multiple takes?
Yeah, if somebody stuffs up a scene, they'll go back and then they have a little... It's a really weird like...
But then you'd lose the laughter in the spots where you want laughter.
Well, no, because they've got like three people stationed at the front of the audience points that like they go balls. Like... Ah! And like, yeah, and you know, they start the, like they start whatever reaction they want, but they get everybody to, they inform everybody of like what they want them to do beforehand. So if somebody like stuffs up it's really weird when like an actor will, you know, fluff a line and then they'll go back and take it from the top. Cause it's almost like a weird interactive theater performance. Cause they'll like interact with the audience and it's like, ah, damn it, I'll get it next time. And then all the audience goes, ha ha ha. And then they walk back and take it back to ones and go again. It's really weird. It's really weird.
I've only been to like game shows live. Good News Week. Talk About Your Generation.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
I thought you meant game show like...
No, Deal or No Deal. Yeah. More like the, not really game like show.
A panel show.
A variety panel show. Yeah. They pretend to have points.
I've personally never been to like a live sporting match. Is that similar?
Yeah.
Yeah. In that, if they like stuff it up, they'll go back and
do it again. Okay, that makes sense. I get it now.
I did notice when Fran was walking out, she was the last one clapped onto the stage. She was holding a dog. Just like a little Pomeranian.
Yeah.
And the dog was absolutely freaking out. It was reeling so hard to get out of her arms. Because there would have been like
400 people screaming. You know, the dogs. It's like shitting
on the floor. Do they instruct you to scream at the live studio? Well, point and scream.
I just imagine a lot of the people would have been...
delirious.
Fans of... Well, yeah, just fans of the nanny, you know. Like, ooh. You get them all to the final episode and they just lose their minds.
So, when did she stop being the nanny?
Yeah.
When did
Do you reckon he kept paying her?
Did she become the partner, the stepmother, and everything was the same except
she stopped getting paid.
Yeah. Well, I guess she just lives off his money. Like,
you think he got a house that big by not being savvy?
There's probably a story arc where she like maybe gets another job after they get married. Because I did read that like that was like a bit of a downfall. Like they had a ratings drop after. They actually got together because it's like that will they, won't they sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they actually do, it's like, oh, fuck, well, what are we going to do now? Like, Niles and Cece are going to do the thing and get pregnant and, all that sort of stuff.
Why don't we have a storyline where Brighton loses all of his hair?
Will he or won't he?
Wasn't that what the show was about?
Yeah. That was his arc.
Yeah.
It was a man coming to terms with his
premature baldness.
We got there.
I really feel like we fixated on that one fact for the last, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
It's because he's still meant to be so young at the end and he's so clearly just wispy. It's
not working for him, yeah. It looks like Tim Watson.
Ravaged by time.
Time for some reboots, perhaps?
I think we should move into reboot country.
Sorry, I kind of stole your thunder.
No, it's okay. I'm glad you did. In that note, should I take it first?
Go for it,
please.
Excellent. Oh, well, thanks. Oh, I don't know what to do. So I've actually gone back old school, the way we used to reboot, not gone ridiculous. This is actually
It's a used car salesman in Oregon.
No, in Seattle.
Brooklyn.
No, Portland. No, I've gone for a gritty reimagining of this of a similar story. So it's about a retired footballer named Max Sheffield loses his wife in a freak car accident. I don't know why freak. Let's go.
Freak
car accident. Yeah, it's pretty
ran over by a monster truck.
Pretty dubious circumstances.
She was 1982 ended up Ford in one Pontiac of the cars Firebird
crash during a monster truck.
Was it Kit?
What's that?
Was it Kit?
Yeah, it's Kit.
That's horrifying.
So she's killed in a car accident.
Freak car accident.
After a little bit of time, he's a bit overwhelmed. Like doing all this. He's now on TV. Does all the sporting ESPN shows. So he needs some help. So he finds a nanny. Finds a nanny to take over, and then slowly the kids start coming to him and kind of going, there's all these little subtle things of abuse, but it all seems kind of happy. And she's trying to. Then one of the kids sort of goes missing, and it. What basically is trying to happen is that the nanny's actually obsessed with this footballer and she orchestrated the car accident that killed his wife and she's been trying to get in to become his wife. And like the butler who's like this absolute drunken like
Dan
maniac.
Butler from Richmond?
Yeah, Dan Butler. No, Rizal Butler, former Miami Heat three-point specialist. The butler is Miles, who's played by Dylan Moran, is onto her. So
But he hasn't got his shit together enough to really
do anything.
Do that
stop
much
it.
About
he would be
it.
A god awful butler.
Dylan Moran. That's why I chose him. I needed someone English who was just like absolutely just inept. So it sort of comes. It's a bit of a sort of the nanny meets basic instinct.
Black
no, oh. no, no. Nanny meets what's the one with Glenn Close and Michael Douglas?
Wall Street.
Nah, it's the one.
Wall Street.
Season 3 of The Shield.
Money Never Sleeps. No.
Falling Down.
Good movie. That's it. That's a good movie.
It's all like he has the affair, and then the woman like, oh God, this is gonna drive me crazy.
The nanny.
No. You know what movie I'm talking about, though.
Yeah.
I don't.
It's. I guess he has an affair with this woman, and then she like stalks him afterwards, and.
Oh, yeah, there's two movies that are like exactly the same that are like this. Is that right?
Yeah. I don't know about it.
The covers are almost exactly the same.
Single white female?
No, it's not single white. That was what I had in my head, but it's not
Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction. Yes, so it's like the nanny meets Fatal Attraction, essentially. So Max Sheffield is going to be played by Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Fran Romero will be played by Eva Mendes, and Miles the butler is Dylan Moran. So
Eva Mendes.
So did you say Will Smith was a retired footballer?
Yeah.
Like AFL?
No, NFL.
No. I was thinking AFL.
No.
You're thinking wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, come on. Serve your Australian audience. Come on.
Nah. I'm thinking New York. Because like I said, it's a gritty reimagining. So it's called El Niñera, which is Spanish for the nanny.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. Tasty.
I really like it.
But we didn't like anything that wasn't English.
What's that? Yeah, I kind of reneged on that, didn't I?
Stand by your convictions.
Nah. It's all about being pliable.
Mm.
Flip-flopping.
Exactly.
Pivoting, if you will.
Pivoting,
speaking
if you will.
Of... The pivot.
Yeah.
Jeremy, the pivot. Sure.
What do you got for us?
So, it's set in the south of the states. I don't know where. Maybe somewhere in Georgia.
Like New Mexico?
Why not? Yeah. So, it's a well-to-do black man. Can I say black?
You just did.
Well-to-do African-American family.
Yep.
And the father is a widower, three kids.
Is it played by Will Smith?
Meanwhile, there is a Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan who gets kicked out because the other Grand Wizard, who he was in a relationship with, their new partner comes in, so there's no job for him, no role as a Grand Wizard. So he gets kicked out, looking for work, you know, ends up becoming the male nanny for this this well-to-do African-American family. And yeah, hijinks ensue.
Like what sort of hijinks?
I don't know. He tries to convert them to be white supremacists.
Misunderstandings.
So. Yeah.
Of various sorts.
Yeah. Do you have a car?
Racial hijinks.
Yeah, racial. Sounds the best guy. Sounds
really. I was thinking
really family oriented.
I was thinking Sam Rockwell for the nanny because he recently played a racist. Who's
he did.
Good at
he
it.
Did quite
won,
well.
Won an Oscar for it. outside of that, I don't really.
Who's playing the dad?
Big Willie?
Sure.
And
you're always copying me.
What is it called?
It's called, well, I was either going to call it the nanny named Clan or the Clanny.
The Clanny.
The Clanny.
The Clanny is unpleasant sounding.
Yeah, I think let's go with the nanny named Clan.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd want to see the opening animation at least.
Yeah.
So it's a grand wizard from Flushing Queen. I just had one of those tragic scenes.
Aaron,
nanny named Clan. All right. You guys know the movie Frank?
Yes.
The one with Michael Fassbender and he's got the fake head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's basically that, except the lead singer wears a giant Fran Drescher head.
Okay.
And he's in a band and he just sings songs like Fran.
And it's called Fran.
It's called Fran. So
we're sort of introduced to the story through the eyes of some upstart member of the band.
Yeah, so someone
played
comes
by
Donald
Gleason.
He's going to be played by Benjamin Salisbury,
okay.
The actor who played Brighton. So he's going to get quite close to Fran.
He's not going
to infatuated.
He's not going to wear the head all the time.
No.
Okay.
He's just the new member. There's the lead singer wearing the head, but they developed quite a close bond.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out at the end of the last scene, will be the head gets popped off, and it'll be Mr. Sheffield.
Ooh.
And the crowd goes wild.
Can we get three on top of each other? Good.
Yeah?
Thank you.
Satisfied?
Please.
Satisfied.
Can we stop that?
Fran.
Mm. Fran.
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 I like Frank, so no reason why I wouldn't like this.
Yeah.
It's a better version, really.
Pretty close. Yeah. Play on.
Scott, what do you got for us?
All right. So, I'm going to go with... I'm going to take Niles as the main character just because he seemed... There's a lot of value for money with Niles, I think. So, this is going to take place after the end of the final episode. He's still really worried that he's, you know, not making enough money for Cece's liking, that she's going to leave him. So, he decides to go and find another job with another family. Because Mr. Sheffield's not paying him that much money. They've moved to Beverly Hills. It turns out he's not, you know, doing that well. So
did Niles go with them?
I would assume so. Mm. I would assume as much. So he then goes and, you know, meets about like 15 different families and sort of like a bit of a comical thing. Like, you know, there's something weird about all of them. But then he like finally finds a family, the Townses, And they seem like they're the perfect family. And they're willing to pay three times the salary that he was making at the Sheffield. So, could get his own butler for that.
Get that,
for
that money. Got to get that money.
But then he starts to notice sort of like weird things going on in the house. There's like different family members like disappearing for like different points in time. And eventually like decides, you know, his curiosity gets the better of him. And he follows the patriarch of the family, Clark Towns, during the night and sees that he goes into the pantry and then just like kind of like disappears and like doesn't come out. So he follows him in. And
Chronicles of Narnia crossover.
Yeah, discovers that it's actually a portal that has been generated by this guy.
Kind of like Sabrina,
style. Except it goes back in time, roughly 9 years ish, something like that. And
glad to see you've thought this one out.
I have. Essentially gives Niles the opportunity to go back and change his life and not be a butler if he doesn't want to be. Yeah, so it's called The Butler's Pantry. And it's just all about Niles just making choices. Just figuring out where he's going to go.
Does he change his life?
I don't know.
A lot like that movie Deja Vu with Denzel Washington.
Yeah. Just gets a little, except he can affect. In that one, can he go back? When he goes back, does he have?
I just said a random
time. Oh, okay.
Kind of like
vaguely remember
Niles
that.
Niles is making bank right now.
Sounds a bit like Back to the Future.
But it's like he could have a completely different life. You know,
he could wouldn't have to deal with CC.
I would say it's definitely not like Deja Vu. I don't think you know anything about that movie.
Sound of Thunder. Bit like Sound of Thunder.
Oh, man, that is a bad movie. Yeah, a bit like that. Have you guys ever seen The Sound of Thunder? It's completely unwatchable.
Oh, well. So, anyway, I think Clark Towns, the patriarch, is going to be played by Jude Law. He looks like a very rich guy. I believe him as a rich dude.
Rich guy's hairline.
Also, his wife is going to be played by Emily Deschanel, just because...
So it costs too much.
Fits into the same
Why not?
Fits into the same man. And just for the hell of it, just because I want to have fun with it, Niles is going to be played by David Caruso. Just because another famous redhead.
Why David Caruso?
Because he's got red hair. And he's like an older gentleman. Does
Niles have red hair?
I think you should get...
Absolutely.
I'm with Aaron on this one.
He does.
Niles didn't have red hair.
Yeah, you're mad.
It's like a dark blonde.
We watched the same show.
I think it's...
Were you watching Round the Twist?
No.
I personally...
That would be weird.
If I could make a suggestion, I think you should get Caitlin Olsen, Sweet D from It's Always Sunny to play Niles.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Like Mr. Covington. Aaron, you got it.
Oh, I got it.
Kids, I'm you butler.
I really don't think Niles had red hair.
Really? He did not have red hair.
I can tell you right now he has grey hair.
Well, yeah, now, obviously, but...
Spoiler alert.
But what colour hair does David Caruso have? Is his grey now?
Very red.
Or is it red still?
Yeah, Niles just brunette.
Is
sort
he?
Sort of a tawny blonde.
My memory is...
Terrible.
Apparently not very good. Because
a carrot top in
I watched
head.
The episode like 3 days ago. But I have this, you know, I have a memory like of like when I was watching the nanny that he was a redhead. Anyway,
David
I don't
Caruso
care. David Caruso,
playing.
He could dye his hair if he needs to.
He's got range. He's got hair range.
I think it's integral to the role.
Yeah.
Well, would Caruso wear the aviators through the whole thing? Because I don't think he can take those off.
Yeah, they are almost fixed to his face, except for after he delivers a zinger. So,
Niles does love a zinger.
He does love a zinger. They both love zingers.
But when he does that, he just puts another pair of aviators on those aviators.
Yeah, true. They're grafted onto his face.
Yeah, exactly.
The original aviators are.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's The Butler's Pantry.
Okay.
Good name.
I like it. The Butler's Pantry. So where are we at? Fran. What was yours called?
The Nanny Named Clan.
The Nanny Named Clan, Fran.
All the clan.
The Butler's Pantry and El Niñera.
I like El Niñera.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. That's my favorite.
No, not the clanny?
Was it?
No. No.
I'm more of a Sex and Civic kind of guy. I think you peaked there.
Okay, fair enough.
Downhill since episode 5.
Let's be honest.
That's 25 episodes. 28.
I'm running out of steam.
In a real slump. If this is an NBA side, you would be out off the roster.
Yeah, I would.
Anyway, should we go to IMDb List of the Week?
Let's indeed.
This week, we have a list from user Mackenzie. Actors and actresses I just can't watch. This is my list of performers that for one reason or another, I just avoid entirely.
Mm.
So, top of the list, he was on last week's as well, Mel Gibson.
Oh.
Between his ego and his narcissism and his racist comments, I just have no time for that man.
Mm.
Tom Cruise, Jim Carrey, and Fran Drescher.
Yeah, not surprising that Fran Drescher.
The comment is, do I have to say?
Well, I think you should. Oh, God.
No, you don't.
But you kind of do, though.
Because you're writing a list. I feel like you should.
You do.
Yeah, you really should point it out. You can't just leave it.
So, is that's the list of four people?
No, we got a few more. Oh, we got Ryan Reynolds. Well, give him Deadpool. He's just another loud-mouthed pretty boy who tries to pass a lack of talent or humor with crude, foul language and his looks.
I haven't seen Deadpool.
I feel like he's not in charge of the language that he says in films. Like, he's not writing his own
lines. He's a foul-mouthed pretty boy. Like, that's all he is.
That's
Will Ferrell.
That's a character he's playing.
That crude, smarmy routine is just annoying.
Will Ferrell's fantastic.
Smarmy. Not according to Mackenzie.
I'm off this list. I'm off it.
How do you feel?
Is Spade on there?
Spade's not on there.
He should be on there.
We got Ben Affleck, Batman versus Superman, ..
I can see why people...
I can see, Ben Affleck,
He's not everyone's cup of tea.
Number 21. Reminder, this is actors and actresses I just can't stand. Donald Trump.
he was in Home Alone 2.
Yeah.
Is this true? He was.
Played a young Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
Played it well.
Well, apparently Mackenzie didn't like it.
Mm. Interesting. It's not the most exciting list, but, you know...
Thanks, Morgs.
No.
I'm going to put you on this list.
Maybe you should. No, what I mean...
It's your list for your sake, Morgan.
Is smarmy pretty boy.
What I mean is that it's...
filthy language.
You know, like, those people... I just think a lot of people on that list, it's not like... They're not that polarizing. I mean, Trump is, but...
Arguably not an actor.
You want Bill Cosby? He's on the list.
Okay.
You want Meryl Streep? She's on the list.
Why is Meryl Streep on the list?
Just annoys me. Too many times I've tried to sit through her performances, only to just end up disliking the whole movie.
Jesus.
Fair.
Savage.
Savage, but fair.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Hayden didn't Christensen. Yeah. Hayden is no Darth Vader.
Maybe.
That's fair.
He's mostly Anakin Skywalker, though. Yeah. No Darth Vader.
No Darth Vader.
The same person, Scott. Haven't you seen?
Well, yeah, I know, but he turns into Darth Vader.
Have you seen Rogue One?
It's like 20 seconds at the end of the third film. Really? Meryl Streep. That's a weird one. Doubt. Doubt was a great film.
Mm. Apparently not. What about Ken Jeong?
Oh, you can't have Ken Jeong on there.
Offensive, what? Racially stereotypical. I'm shocked that he plays the parts he does. Obnoxious, foul-mouthed, unfunny character actor.
He is hilarious.
He appears to be the type of actor that has no tact or shame.
I'd
say that's probably fair comment about him, but still, that's partly what makes him hilarious.
Yeah, makes him a great actor.
I would agree.
And Tom Cruise. I wonder if that's just like because of Scientology.
Tom Cruise, ego, smarminess, and his whole nuttiness regarding his beliefs.
He's a pretty good
Although
actor,
some of his sci-fi work is entertaining, his whole ego-driven presence these days is enough to make me avoid him altogether.
That's fair enough. And I don't know, we should dissect someone's personal opinion on actors too much.
Mm.
Well, that's what this whole segment is about.
No, but so. I mean, whether or not they think Tom Cruise is annoying. They're all justifiable except for...
Meryl Streep.
Would David Spade be number one on your list?
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Kevin James would be number one on mine. Who would be number one on yours, Aaron? And Scott, same question.
Who am I not a fan of? I'm not a fan of John C. Reilly.
Really?
To be honest, yeah.
I do think he's, for me, John C. Reilly's just a poor man's Will Ferrell.
See, I'm not a huge Will Ferrell fan either, so.
What?
Yeah.
I love Will Ferrell. He's fantastic.
Okay.
Hmm. You couldn't put I'm talking number one on the list, like the person you find you just could not stand to watch.
I'm sure there is somebody, but I just can't.
I actually can't watch things that Kevin James is in. I just can't. I have a physical like allergic reaction to it.
Covered in hives.
Anaphylaxis. Yeah. Like if we do King of Queens, I could die. Could literally die.
I'm gonna take that risk.
We're not taking the risk.
King and Queens next episode.
No, we're not taking
it. Someone please request it so that we can't.
That's the law.
Please do not request King of Queens. So, Jez, final thoughts on The Nanny, because we're getting distracted.
No, I don't know.
That's it?
Everyone knows The Nanny.
No, don't do that. Oh, Jesus Christ, I really don't like that.
And that sums it up.
Taking that panel away from you.
All those sounds just came from Jez's mouth.
Yep.
You just like poke him in the chest. And
yeah. I'm the
different points.
Like Michael Winslow.
Yeah, Michael Winslow.
Yeah.
Aaron, final thoughts on?
I don't think I can say any more than that. I'm not going to watch it again. When I did watch it the first time, I was watching it at university on my laptop. I got a lot of weird looks.
Yeah, it's a weird show. It is very strange. I was lucky enough to watch it in the privacy of my own home. So
I opted for the privacy of my own home. Yeah. So.
I'm just a chauvinist like that.
Yeah, you've dropped the ball.
Sitting naked in public watching The Nanny.
All right, I'm going to move on.
There's only one way to do it.
Yeah, there's a lot of jokes. We could splinter off that, but we won't. We won't. This is a highbrow show. Scott, what were your final thoughts on them?
It brought back some good memories. Mm. I recall, going over to a friend's house, having a cup of tea and sitting down and watching The Nanny, and
you
didn't have a Milo?
Yeah, no, I had a friend.
Did you just last year?
I had a friend who just like was drinking cups of tea from the age of six. It's just a thing that happened. And then whenever I went around to his house, he'd just have a cup of tea. Mm. So
how many sugars? 15.
Oh, too many. Just far too many. I've been peeling off my sugar intake with tea over the last 17 years.
Been peeling off your skin because you've had so much sugar as a child. Some rare disease. Or your skin's falling off. There's some sort of layer of sugar between your skin and like your tissue.
What's that called?
Caramelization.
So that's how it makes me feel. That's how the show makes me feel. How's it make you feel?
No, I'm kind of with you. There's a bit of nostalgia about watching that first episode. I'm glad we went back and did it. But it does. Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna. I was pleasantly surprised about how it wasn't unpalatable.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna go back and watch it.
How much better it was than Rules of Engagement.
Yeah, it really was a lot better than Rules of Engagement.
It's the heyday of the self-contained sitcom.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. It was in the... it's got some good company, that sort of era. Seinfeld, Friends.
Cheers.
You know, it's in a nice little class. So. Not that it's got anything on Seinfeld.
Most comedy shows now are a lot more story-driven. Week-by-week episodes have just... But nothing really changes. Yeah. And you just reset to the status quo. I mean, there was a little bit of progression in this, but I feel like that style's not dying.
I mean, they always sort of have that. Like Rules of Engagement literally is probably one of the last ones of its kind.
Yeah.
Or at least ones that hit our shores. There's always weird ones that just crop up.
Death rattle of
situational
comedies.
Yeah, you see like one or two seasons of some things just make it... Like they're on Channel 7 in the middle of the day on a Saturday.
Did New Girl like that? Was that kind of set up or was it more story people driven?
There are some big fans of
New Girl's pretty funny. Like it's got Jake Johnson's hilarious and it's got Marlon Wayans. Jake Johnson's in it.
Damon Wayans.
I should maybe it's more like that the you get the comedy from the story rather than the comedy from just one liners.
It's not as... I guess it is sort of situational in a way, but like the situational in situational comedy is like, well, now there's another like a new situation, but it's in the same format. Every single episode, it's like, this time, Niles has got to go pick up a puppy or something, you know. Like, obviously, I wasn't a writer on The Nanny.
That was a storyline.
I'll do what I can.
And then the next episode, like, they'd have the dog and be happy, but the next episode, the dog just mysteriously wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Like, not... Niles
ate it.
No, but like, there's no reason why it's gone.
Kick him out because he had the dog.
Yeah.
He's going to get another dog to feed to the family. Yeah. That's every week. That's Sunday roast.
Yeah.
Creepy. Anyway, we should probably leave it there. Jeremy, where can people find us online?
On the internet.
No way.
Yep.
Not the intranet?
Both. We have our own intranet, which you can sign up to if you
That'd
like.
That'd be cool. Is it called
Comtron?
It is called Comtron.
I want to make an
intranet. All you can access is the TIS homepage.
Mm.
It's all you need.
Which is theincompleteseries.com.
Yes, indeed. If you do have more than our intranet and you have the internet, you can also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/theincompleteseries.
Are we still encouraging people to Facebook?
That's a good question.
Yeah. If you want Zuckerberg to steal your identity, wear your face, wear your skin as some sort of skin suit, pretend to be.
Well, he's not going to take Scott's.
That's what,
too sugary.
That's why he got into the business. Yeah. This is like the only way he can get off. He's like Buffalo Bill.
Yeah.
Silence of the Lambs.
Why else would he be stealing people's identity, Morgan? Shaking your head at me. I don't want to sit here and get in the...
I was thinking of something else, to be honest.
Anyway, so...
Questionable. Maybe don't go to Facebook. Yeah, up to you. We're not your moral guides.
Depending how cavalier you're feeling with your personal information.
You can also head over to iTunes and write something up there. I don't know what Apple does with your information, but maybe just throw caution to the wind and write us a review.
And you can do the same on any
any good podcasting platform that you may listen to podcasts from.
Maybe just jump onto Reddit and just make a post.
Do that.
I found this podcast and I feel one way or the other about it.
Very like common. Subreddit.
/r/2s Jump on our subreddit.
Man, that'd be
send us an upload.
Empty.
Yeah, it would.
At this point.
Can you just make a subreddit?
I think that's a possibility. Yeah.
Like, do you want to have to get approved or can you just make them?
I don't know. I really don't know. Do you want to be a moderator?
I've seen some very specific ones.
So. Yeah.
Well, let's find out.
Cool. Anyway, let's. We're getting distracted again. Let's probably leave it there. So anyway, thank you, Jez.
Ciao.
Thank you, Darren.
Morgan.
And thank you, Scott.
Morgan.
Mr. Sheffield.
Stop. Done.